Hello, this is Raymond, and you are listening to Global Yardie.
Global Yardie. Global Yardie. Global Yardie.
Welcome to the Global Yardie Podcast. Global Yardie. Global Yardie captured colorful and powerful conversations on climate, culture, and sustainable living.
Hello, this is Sammy from Nigeria. It's good to have Global Yardie back.
Hi, I'm Durval Bazzi, host of the Climate Conscious Podcast.
And I'm Dana Lynn Swaby, host of Global Yardie.
This podcast is a collaboration between the Climate Conscious Podcast and Global Yardie, highlighting the upcoming Caribbean Women for Climate Justice Virtual Conference 2023.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be part of this podcast. Yay, Global Yardie. So this conference, the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice Conference, is being hosted by the Climate Justice Podcast and the Breadfruit Collective during April 19 to 2023. And this is in partnership with the Caribbean Natural Resources Institute, CANARI, with support from Open Society Foundations. And today we are also joined by members of the Breadfruit Collective team. But before I ask them to welcome, I say, hey, Durval.
Hi, Ninalyn.
Yeah, I'm excited that we get to do another pod-to-pod spotlighting the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice Conference this year. All right, so now we're going to hand over or say hello to the members of the Breadfruit Collective team. Welcome, Christine, who is a founder and managing director of the Breadfruit Collective.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and there's Afifa Richardson.
Hello, hello.
And Ayana Elaine.
Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
So for those who aren't familiar, Christine, tell us a bit about the Breadfruit Collective.
So the Breadfruit Collective is a gender and environmental justice organization that's based in Guyana. And we are really intentional about doing intersectional work, inclusive work, and intergenerational work. So that also means although we're doing gender work and environmental work, we're also understanding the importance of highlighting issues such as mental health, gender-based violence, education, and so on.
Amazing. So I think the million-dollar question is, why Caribbean Women for Climate Justice?
Thank you so much, Dana Lynn. And I think that's a really important question. I think when we think of the Caribbean, when we think of women, we have to think about the resiliency of our people. And continuously, we continue to overcome. When we think of the environment, it's imperative that we think of the impact it has on women and girls. Caribbean countries are often left out of the conversation when it comes to climate change. However, we're extremely vulnerable. We're a very small state. We're also coastal countries, so we're very vulnerable. So when we think of climate change, it's necessary that we incorporate women and girls. Women and girls are the most vulnerable to climate disaster. About 80% of them are directly affected when we have a climate disaster. And I really want to highlight that although women and girls are vulnerable, they're active agents of change. When we look at the Caribbean climate justice movement, it's clear to see that young women and girls, they're actually leading the movement. They're actually the ones on the front line. And so when we think of climate change, we really have to highlight these voices. We really have to understand the intersecting aspect of the work. I like to say that we don't live single issues live, and therefore all our identity is really important when we're talking about climate change and the destruction that it brings if we don't act.
I love that. I love that, especially the intersecting aspects of the work. Now, I'm going to go back to Durval because I think there's a trifecta of events happening when you pair the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice Conference, Earth Day, and also the third anniversary of the Climate Conscious Podcast, all happening in one. So, Durval, talk to us about the significance of those three events.
I love how you put that, Dana Lynn. Yeah, so Caribbean Women for Climate Justice originated last year, really as a way to commemorate the second anniversary of the Climate Conscious Podcast. Like you, I use podcasting to really amplify the voices of persons in the region, and in particular the Global South, around climate change and sustainable development, you know, sharing our perspectives. And in doing that over the past 2 years at the time, and now we're coming up on 3 years, I think my interest, which started mainly in climate action, evolved into the concept of climate justice and recognizing the importance of acknowledging the lived experience of women, our women and girls in the Caribbean. So I was really happy to partner with the Bradford Collective to bring this vision to life. And it truly was amazing to bring all these stakeholders together to not only have discussion, but also to explore solutions to the challenges that are being faced at the intersection of climate and gender justice in the Caribbean region. And it coincides with the launch of the Climate Conscious podcast, which was done on Earth Day back in 2020. So it's really that, as the conference says, that intersection of these three milestones. And I'm just really happy to be able to partner with persons who are doing really good work in this space, the Bradford Collective, and now this year Global Yadi, and all our supporters and contributors to Caribbean Women for Climate Justice.
Amazing. Normally, when somebody brings everything like that together, you say it's a full circle moment, but it's a full circle and it's also intersecting circles. And I think it also amplifies the kind of impact and purpose, the purposefulness in which you not just amplify the work through the podcast, but know, you know, we've extended. So, and I'm also happy to be a part of the extension of amplifying voices, you know, the groundwork also being connected. Now, I want to go over to Ayana and Afifa back into the conversation. You know, by now people is listening know that it's a full house. I think on both of our podcasts, Durval, normally it's maybe one or two people yeah, that we have on our climate coaches. So bringing back Ayana and Afifa, I want to hear from you ladies. What were the highlights from last year that stood out to you? Ayana, I'll start with you.
So whenever I'm recapping the conference, the thing that stands out to me is like the interest and excitement that people had to talk about climate justice, to talk about gender, and also the ways that they intersect. And as we know, climate justice is partly about thinking about how we can best share the burdens and the problems that are coming with the climate crisis. So the fact that people were so excited to find info and learn more was heartening, because ultimately that's how change starts.
Love that. Afifa, what about you?
Honestly, the entire conference just feels like one big highlight to me whenever I think about it. It's last year, it was the first time we did something like this, and being part of the coordinating team and seeing everything unfold beyond what we could have imagined was such a magical feeling. The entire conference, just when I think about it, just feels like the best thing from last year. And I know we received like over 250 registrants from over 21 countries. And just to be able to see how many people came on board to join us, to listen in for this first event that we were having virtually, it was really amazing to see the support, to feel the solidarity from persons from all across the Caribbean, in a diaspora, so many different countries, people we've never met before and still haven't. And every time I think about it, it just feels so amazing how many connections we made. And I think one of the other things that I personally really enjoyed was having a children's session, an environmental storytelling session, and being able to do that with children across the region. It's something that we would do locally here in country. So in Guyana, where I'm from, I would interact with children here. But to be able to interact with children across the Caribbean and have that session with them and hear their thoughts about environmental issues was truly amazing.
Absolutely. Like you said, amazing twice, and I'm going to say it again. Definitely sounds amazing. And I love the fact that children were included, really playing up the intergenerational aspect, you know, of what we're trying to achieve. And I link it back to what Christine said earlier with, you know, making sure that we are pulling together the intersecting elements, you know, in this space. So that's awesome. Now, speaking of Christine, to you, 1 year later, what has happened since the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice 2022, or I should say CW4 CJ 2022?
Yes, so much has happened. And like Afifa said, it's honestly so unexpected. And we're so grateful for all the support that we have received last year. And one of the things that the team was intentional about is working across movements, working in partnership, not repeating work, sharing resources. And last year, while we were doing our research and, you know, in planning this conference, we came across Canary and their Climate Justice Alliance. And one of the things we did, we reached out to them to learn more about their alliance and their work. And it's so surprising. And so, again, I'll say great. We're so grateful and thankful that Durval and I were asked to co-lead on the working group on gender and climate. So looking back a year ago to now, we're actually leading and we're part of this Climate Justice Alliance, whereby we're able to get support from Canary to have this conference again this year. And we're actually able to lead as young women on this alliance.
I'm going to borrow, I think it was Afifa's word, you know, that's truly amazing. And you said something that stood out, working across movements. I love that. So clearly the impact stands tall from what happened last year. So Durval, what can people look forward to at CW4CJ 2023?
Yes, Dana Lynn. So for CW4CJ 2022, we really spent time highlighting the issues, unpacking many of the issues around gender and climate justice in the region, and also creating awareness of the linkages that may not be readily visible to persons. And Christine mentioned earlier, and I would like to reiterate that, you know, we want to see women not just as victims, but as powerful agents of change. So this year, we want to shift the focus to solutions that would support the improvement of both climate and gender justice in the Caribbean, and recognizing women as change agents, the work that is already being done, the intergenerational work that has been done so far as we look towards climate resilience and gender equitable future for the Caribbean. So we do have three panel discussions lined up, as well as two workshops, again, aligned with our focus on solutions. We have two really exciting workshops for persons to get a bit more practical and hands-on, in addition to these panel discussions where we provide a forum for persons to share what they have been doing and also their recommendations, what they would like to see done in the region to move the needle forward when it comes to improving gender justice and climate justice. So with that, I would now want to turn over to the rest of the team, because we know this is a team effort, and I'm truly grateful for everyone who has said yes to coming on board to CW4CJ. It has evolved from just an event to now being a movement, right? And truly grateful for our partners and the organizing committee as we discuss what we are doing for 2023. So Ayana, Afifa, Christine, Dana Lynn, what panel are you most looking forward to for CW4CJ 2023?
I know that I'm definitely looking forward to the first panel on gender and climate advocacy, and we're working with the theme Different Boat, Same Sea. And I'm excited to learn about people that are doing work on the ground that are moving beyond just lip service. And I think this is also going to go into practicable solutions and thinking about collaboration, regional collaboration between different countries, between different sectors. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about what it means to be a gender and climate advocate in the Caribbean.
Durval, what about you?
I am really excited about panel two, which looks at gender-sensitive leadership and also women in leadership, because I truly believe that we need to get more women in positions of power and being able to influence decision making so that it reflects the perceptions and the lived experiences of women in all spaces, and especially in the fight against the climate crisis. We need to ensure that we cater to the various needs of different genders. So we'll be assembling a panel to talk about women in leadership, the challenges and the opportunities. We'll be hearing from women in leadership roles across the region. So I'm very excited about that. And I know we'll be inspiring other women to aspire and ascend to positions of leadership. And I must point out that, you know, on that panel, we also include the perspectives of men, because they are our partners as we fight for greater equity and equality. So I'm also looking forward to hearing their perspectives in terms of how they can support greater feminist leadership in the region.
I love that. I love that you plug the men, because you know they're going to be quick to come at us. And when I say them, I'm not just even saying men, you know, where sometimes when you have spaces for women, it's not like you're seeing anti everyone else that doesn't identify. So I'm really happy that we are also still making space, like Christine said, that intersecting element, and very inclusive. And speaking of inclusive, I'm happy now I get to share the panel that I am interested or excited about, which is the panel that looks at inclusive design, you know, creating resilient communities. And I think it's important because even in the general context of this conference, people will ask, what do women have to do with climate change? And we ask, but sometimes we don't take the time to seek out. And I love that this panel will look at, you know, the current built environment within Caribbean countries and the challenges within that. And more so, how it is that we can move towards implementing urban planning and design approaches through a gendered lens. So many things to unpack there, looking at solutions for how we can reduce risk that are faced by women in climate vulnerable locations. A lot of us and women in the Caribbean and globally, you know, we live in climate vulnerable communities. Sometimes we don't look at it that way, but the built environment or physical location also translates into the impacts that we face, such as hurricanes, sea level rise, droughts and floods and all of that. So I'm really looking forward to the diverse team of experts and advocates that will guide us towards the best practices for designing and improving spaces for people, women, children, and also people with disabilities and other minority groups. Who's next?
Let's hear from Afifa. What are you looking forward to?
I am actually really looking forward to the workshops. So Deval, as you mentioned, this year we really wanted to focus on solutions. And part of solutions is ensuring persons have capacity and have opportunities to build their capacity to tackle gender and climate justice issues. So it was really important for us, and really, we're really happy that we were able to include this year workshops for persons to get a bit more hands-on, get some skills, talk a bit more about how they could apply those, learn a bit more about how they could apply those solutions. So this year we have one workshop on Show Me the Data, Smart Solutions for Gender Equity. So that workshop would look at using gender data in advocacy work. So we know data is very important to help us to make informed decisions. So we cannot really work towards those solutions in gender climate justice issues if we don't know what the current situation is and be able to monitor our progress towards improving that situation. So we wanted to give persons an opportunity to learn how to collect data and use that data towards advancing gender climate justice within their organizations and within their work. And the other workshop is going to be focused on climate justice through a gender lens. So it's a photojournaling workshop. We really wanted to ensure we give space for the creative aspect of our work. So a lot of times we know the social issues, climate issues, gender issues are a bit heavy, and using art, photography, it's a very relatable and visual way of communicating these complicated topics. So we thought it was important to have a creative side to the conference where persons could use that skill to now share their stories and experiences and solutions from their perspective, that creative perspective. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how all of this works together.
I paused because I didn't want to keep saying amazing again, but I'm really excited, and I'm hoping the audience, both the Global Yadi and the Climate Conscious podcast family, are excited when we're listening to so many things. Durval, Christine, how did you come up with, you know, I'm just excited about what, you know, we are able to produce and all the members of the Breadfruit Collective here.
Listening back to everyone and all the highlights that they're sharing, it's incredible to think that, you know, the group of us, we actually intentionally put this conference together, and it touched on so many different themes and topics, and I'm so excited. And I really want to share Canary, and I'm just so grateful for their support in sponsoring us this year, and also for trusting Deval and I in this leadership position of leading this working group on gender and climate justice. And for us, we have an advocacy agenda that Deval and I have been working on. And for us, we really wanted to share this document of ideas, of perspectives, of objectives that we want to achieve within the next year with the audience that's going to be coming, you know, because we recognize the people who are coming into this conference, they're coming in with knowledge, with solutions. And so we want to share this advocacy agenda with them and hear their perspective, have a conversation about it to make it stronger. And the other thing I'm really, really excited about is our keynote speaker. And we talk a lot about solutions and homegrown solutions. And our keynote speaker this year is doing exactly that. She is working directly with Women's Farmer in St. Lucia. And we're just so excited to hear about the work that she's been doing, her inspiration, and, you know, how other people can adapt and take a lot of the best practices that they're implementing. And we also have on Sunday, we have been working really closely with Transform Education, and we know that's a feminist organization, and they really wanted to partner with us to have a solidarity circle on the Sunday, which would be the 23rd. And solidarity circle, it's basically a space for feminists to reflect and to hold space for each other, to share perspective. We know we're going into this conference after hearing the recent IPCC report. It's the final warning. We know the importance of climate justice. We know the work that young feminists have. And now we have climate change in addition to all the other things that we're taking on. So we're hoping that this solidarity circle can be a space of, you know, we're sharing our perspective. We're holding each other accountable, but we're also giving each other grace.
Yes, Christine, I'm also very excited for our keynote speaker, Ms. Caitlin Carew, the CEO of Helen's Daughter, and the incredible work that she and her team are doing with women farmers and also boosting our food security and working towards the achievement of zero hunger within our region.
All right. So I've heard so much that, you know, I think the expectations are mounting. I want to ask Afifa, so for all the wonderful things that we've distilled in terms of the expectation for this year, who are we targeting for the conference, and what are some of the intended outcomes?
The short answer is that the conference is open to everyone. So whether it's young persons, older persons, persons in academia, farmers, persons in private sector, indigenous persons, people in the Caribbean, and persons from the diaspora, anyone who is interested in climate and gender justice, or even persons who don't know much about issues and want to learn more, they can join too. So short answer, everyone. It's an open space for learning and sharing on critical issues which affect us all. And in terms of intended outcomes, CW4CJ 2023 really aims to facilitate active dialogue on advancing gender climate justice in the Caribbean. It aims to identify solutions, as Deval mentioned, that can feed into the collective advocacy agenda that is being developed by our collaborating partner, Canary, as Christine mentioned just now, as something that she's looking forward to. So the conference intends to improve awareness and visibility of climate and gender issues, particularly relevant to women and girls in the Caribbean, and build capacity through our workshops among stakeholders to address these issues. So we're really, really happy to be able to add that to the event this year.
Lovely.
Yes. So last year, 2022, we had the inaugural CW4CJ, and we are so excited and grateful to be here again. So we're on the cusp of another CW4CJ, and we're happy to have Global Yali on board this year as part of our organizing committee. So Dylan, tell us, why did you decide to get involved in CW4CJ 2023?
Okay, so part of this you mentioned earlier, Durval, in terms of, you know, the Global Yali podcast and the Climate Conscious podcast. I almost said Climate Collective. See, I'm merging both organizations. the Climate Conscious podcast, you know, we operate on similar objectives in terms of amplifying the work and the voices of Caribbean people and, you know, really showing to the world that we are making substantive contributions as it relates to climate change and, you know, defending where we're from. And I feel like I was swept away last year, and I do recall given the opportunity to perform in the creative zone for last year's conference. And that was important for me because it's not always about representing where you're from outside of that space. So being among the Caribbean community, very, very important. And zeroing in on Caribbean women is also of significant importance. We've heard the reports. Christine mentioned the IPPC report that also, you know, has issued a call for greater participation of women in the fight against climate change. And I still think that we have a lot to do in helping our Caribbean community understand how are women affected by climate change. We're powerful by nature, the way we love, the way we live, the things we give. But there is a dark side of that where we're impacted. And it calls for the gender responsive approaches and us being sensitive to say, if we are being affected differently, it means that we should do things differently. And we can't always rely on what we call experts. It's really about engendering a common understanding. And I think it aligns with the vision for Global Yadi. That's why we have conversations with experts, activists, and enthusiasts, and people who have different lived experiences, because we want to share with a larger audience, building the bridge from awareness and understanding to appreciation to action. And I do think that this conference and what it stands for aligns with that perfectly.
I love what you said, Dana Lynn. We are powerful by nature, the way we love, the way we live, and the things that we give. And you know what, the Global Yadi, the creative side has to come out.
Yes.
So, Dana Lynn, if someone were to ask you, why should I attend CW4CJ 2023, what would be your response?
I would just play back what I just said.
Right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a space for all. We always talk about women leadership and women needing to be represented and women needing to, the need for women to be given opportunities. And I think this conference represents that. And to them, you know, being part of this planning committee, one of the things I realized when we were brainstorming for panelists and speakers, I don't know if the team can relate, but we didn't struggle to identify a female doing it. You know, any topic that we thought about, there was a female that came to mind who was doing something in that space. It doesn't mean that we have enough, because we need more. And I think we need to amplify. So if somebody was asking, why should I attend? I think it's because we need community. And nothing great was ever achieved without support. And we need critical mass, because this is a movement. And to be a successful movement, we need to stand on the shoulders of many. And I think when we can bring more people into the space, and it comes down to the simple thing. How can we show people a different way of looking at life and looking at what we need to do as a people? And I think, you know, for them attending that, they will come away. I know I can put any money on it. You know, maybe not everything in my bank account, but maybe if I really did that, I wouldn't lose to say, when you come to this conference, you're coming away with new perspectives, deeper understanding. And I think that will even shift, you know, and agitate something inside any Caribbean person or any person at all that's supposed to attend this event.
Well said, Dana Lynn.
I think I'm inspired by you all, but I know we're kind of winding down, so I want to bring back Ayana into it. How can people participate after they've heard all these glorious things about the conference?
The first thing I want to emphasize, and I feel like I can't emphasize this enough, is that registration is completely free. So please invite everyone you know. We've been saying it throughout this podcast that this is a space for everyone. So please, please reach out and spread the word. You can find the registration link on the Instagram bios at the Breadfruit Collective and at the Climate Conscious Podcast. So please check them out and tell everyone you know.
So another question I wanted to know, last year's conference was off the hook based on what everybody was saying. So for people who, you know, want to follow up, how is it that they can access information from last year?
There's lots of opportunities for you to catch up if you weren't with us last year, and in order to prepare for the upcoming iteration of the conference. There's a summary report on the Breadfruit Collective's website, And all of the panel conversations from last year have been turned into podcast episodes via the Climate Conscious podcast. And you can also find those on YouTube. And as always, please keep your eye out on the social media pages for the Breadfruit Collective and the Climate Conscious podcast for more information. We'll update you. We'll give you information on the upcoming panels and speakers. So please keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, so connect with us on social media. That's the Breadfruit Collective, the Climate Conscious Podcast, and also the Global Yadi.
All right. So I think now we're going to go back to the co-founders of this amazing event, Christina Nderval. What does the future of the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice look like?
Wow, such a powerful question. I just really, really enjoy the conversation that you've been having here. And I want to start off by, you know, being thankful and sharing this space with Nderval. You know, this is an idea that was birthed. And I'm so glad that she invited the Breadfruit Collective to join her, and to my teammates, Ayana and Afifa, for coming along. And you know, this year, Dana Lynn, you being a part of this have been, you know, such an enriching experience, sharing your experience and perspective. And I see that's exactly what the future of CW4CJ looks like, bringing on more people. And as we were talking about, it's a movement. We're trying to be as inclusive as possible. We're trying to unlearn and learn. Each year, we want to be as relevant as we possibly can, to share the spotlight, to highlight work being done on the ground right here in the Caribbean, because we know Caribbean people, they're doing it. We're doing it small scale, but we're doing it. And it's important. Representation is so important. I can tell you, seeing the five of us, I'm inspired. And I know that people will be inspired too when they come. And for Nderval and I, this work doesn't just come along once a year. Intersectional climate issue, these are things that we're passionate about. So we're continuously going to look for ways to be to involve persons. And we do know that research finding demonstrate that these issues that we're talking about, such as gender-based violence and the importance of promoting gender equity, protecting the environment, these are all things that are linked and contribute to securing a safe, sustainable, and equitable future for everyone.
I think Christine has summarized it quite well. What I would add is, for me, the vision of CW4CG moving forward looks like building on what we have started and solidifying the linkages and the partnerships that we have established. As she mentioned, you know, we are very grateful to Canary as well as the Open Society Foundations for their support and allowing us to continue. As you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And what I love is that, as I always say, when we recognize that no one is coming to save us, we decided to save ourselves. And this is our, you know, this is our effort at creating the change that we want to see in our region. And although we may be separated as fragmented islands and coastal territories, you know, we are connected by our shared vision for a sustainable Caribbean and our shared passion for climate and gender justice in the region. So I'm just looking forward to seeing this movement continue to grow and also to bear fruit for us and for future generations. So I also want to take this opportunity as we wrap up this episode to acknowledge the incredible persons that were with us for the inaugural CW4CJ, all the panelists, the moderators, spoken word performers, and also the attendees, and of course our sponsors. You know, we are forever grateful for their support, and we are truly humbled by the response and the opportunity that we have to do this yet again and to build on what we started. So I say, on behalf of, you know, the Breadfruit Collective and the Climate Conscious Podcast, a big thank you to our partners and our sponsors as we look forward to an even more amazing CW4CJ 2023.
All right. Nderval, I feel like we're double agents now. Imagine co-hosting two podcasts at the same time, but we did it.
Caribbean girls.
All right. So there you have it. A solutions focused conference doing away with the notion that there is a dearth, meaning like an absence of conversations on climate change and climate justice in the Caribbean. We can point to the climate Conscious Podcast, we can point to the Breadfruit Collective, and of course, we can point to the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice. Amazing. Ladies, I want to say thank you all. I'm thanking myself for sharing in this, and we look forward. We are so inspired. Women as powerful agents of change. I know Christine mentioned that we're doing it small scale, but guess what? This is a big moment for the Caribbean community, and we are proud. I'm going to go back to what Ayana said. You know, this is how you can follow us. Make sure that you're following the Climate Conscious Podcast and also the Breadfruit Collective for updates on the Caribbean Women for Climate Justice Conference 2023.
Global Yardie.
Thank you for listening, Global Yardie. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Global Yardie. To learn more about the Caribbean Youth Climate Justice Coalition, follow YPACJA on Instagram and Twitter. That's YPACCJA.